This is KBBI Homer, AM 890. The time is 9 a.m. I'm Kathleen Gustafson. Time for the regular Thursday COVID-19 brief. With incident command members, let's see. Dorotha Ferraro from South Peninsula Hospital, are you there?
Good morning, I am.
Good morning to you. And Jenny Carroll, spokesperson, information officer for the City of Homer, good morning.
Good morning.
And Nurse Lauren Carroll from the Homer Public Health Center in the Alaska Department of Health and Social Services. Good morning to you.
Hey, Kathleen, you're loud and clear.
Great. So I have a list of questions. So many people have been sending questions in this week, so I'm just going to get right to it. I do want to know how things are going. On Monday when we spoke for the Tuesday update, Dorotha Ferraro, you had told me there was one case in the last 2 weeks that had been found through testing at South Peninsula Hospital's set up on Bartlett Street, the test drive-up testing area. So is that still holding? How are we doing?
I just checked, Kathleen, and in the last 7 days, we've had no new positive results from testing at the hospital. And on the Southern Kenai Peninsula, as far as the last 14 days, it looks like there's been a total of 7.
Okay, thanks for that.
And that was in the last 14 days. Mm-hmm.
Now, I have some questions that have arrived over the last week. Here's a lot of them, I think, are for Nurse Lauren Carroll, but everybody jump in when you want to add some information. First of all, will this vaccine that people are getting now be part of the flu vaccine I get every year, or will I have to take a separate COVID vaccine every year from now on? What do you know about that?
Oh, yeah, that's a good question. The short response is, from today's perspective, that's unknown. We won't know that for several months, probably. It depends on several factors. One of them is how effective the vaccine works, not only for Alaskans, but all of the different populations within Alaska. We've had vaccines, for example, in the past, PV-HIB vaccine. There's a couple different types. One of them of which didn't work very well as compared to the other on Alaska Natives. So we're on the lookout for things like that, and those will be key in determining what the components of the flu vaccine will be moving forward.
Thanks, Nurse Lauren. And the next question is about quarantine, because now that the emergency declaration has been lifted, there are Jenny Carroll put it very well when we spoke on Monday, saying that, you know, the recommendations are still the same for the way we should behave, but the emergency declaration is no longer in place. So someone was asking about quarantine, and Mary asks, if the vaccination protects the recipient from the virus but does not prevent transmission, why did the CDC lift the 14-day quarantine for people who have received the vaccine after they come in contact with an infected person?
Oh, that's another great question, to be sure. You know, Dr. McLaughlin, who is the state of Alaska's chief epidemiologist, he asked CDC the same question a couple days ago on a national call. And CDC at that time said that it's an evidence-based decision. So right now we have to wait and see what the data shows. So we're not going to know until we know. And as we study how our bodies respond to the vaccine, we're hopeful that the vaccine will prevent disease as well as asymptomatic shedding of the virus. So CDC says that it will disclose those studies soon.
Thanks. And then the last one in that same group is Ken asks, if I get the Moderna or any other vaccine, I am protected to a degree from the virus. Does it also protect others from infecting them directly, or is the vaccine strictly personal protection?
Oh, that's another great question. The short answer is that the vaccine is known to be very effective in preventing severe disease, or that's actually the definition of COVID-19. But it's not yet been shown or proven to prevent the transmission of the virus from one person to the next. So you could get the vaccine, both doses, And you may be able to transfer that virus to other folks. So clearly, it highlights the need for continuing mitigation measures.
Thanks, Nurse Lauren.
Kathleen, this is Jenny. I'd like to circle back to that question about the quarantine.
Sure.
I just wanted to make it clear to folks that the letting up on the quarantine requirement for people who've been fully vaccinated is dependent on people being fully vaccinated, and that it's within 3 months of having received your final dose in your two-dose series, and that you have no symptoms since the exposure to COVID-19. So if you're vaccinated and you come into close contact with someone and you start showing symptoms, it would be very wise to quarantine and just keep your interactions with others to a minimum to be safe that you're not spreading the disease. And I think, you know, it is kind of a quandary why the CDC is recommending some of our preventative measures but not all of the preventative measures. And I think, you know, quarantine is quite an onerous activity. Some people might be able to work from home and have certain luxuries to be able to quarantine easily and safely, but that maybe the individual and societal benefits of avoiding quarantine, that's very important, especially if you're practicing all the other mitigation measures that are recommended, then your chance of transmitting is much lower. So I just wanted to kind of maybe bring a little more perspective from my perspective, not being a public health nurse, but about those letting up on that guideline a little bit. Certainly if you have symptoms, you should stay quarantining.
Dorotha, did you want to add to that?
Yeah, and also, in addition to both of those answers, I want to remind everybody that we learn more as more people get fully vaccinated, and to not get married to these answers for the long haul, that this is the current recommendation, and the more vaccines that roll out and the more people contribute to information gathering post-vaccination, then the more informed the guidance will be.
Thanks. That's Dorotha.
Wow. Oh, that's well said. Just to unpack that even more, according to Dr. McLaughlin, CDC is saying that the vaccine currently perhaps is providing 3 months of immunity. So that's a really positive factor. But what's unknown and be ready to potentially shift is we don't know what impact the vaccine will have in regards to variants, which are already here in Alaska.
Thanks. That's Nurse Lauren. Back to Dorotha Ferraro from South Peninsula Hospital. Is there any news on doses coming from the state or upcoming clinics for March for the general public? I have some information from the school district that I'll share with you in a little while, but I want to talk about all the new people, because now we're back in that situation where there's a great many people eligible and we're waiting on doses. So Dorotha, any news on the doses that are coming from the state?
Well, I'm sorry to report that we still do not know what our March allocation is. And the March allocation, we expect to be a very large volume that we will be able to do a mass vaccination clinic, a mass pod point of dispensing event. So hopefully we'll know today or tomorrow, definitely by the end of this week, what the March allocation is. And because we expect to learn that soon, we are planning on Monday, March 1st, to make those appointments available for that big March event. So we still have plenty of time to get that word out and know how many appointments there will be and all that kind of thing. So that's for the March allocation. We did receive notice, though, from the state of Alaska about 2 weeks ago that we were asked by the state of Alaska a couple weeks ago to host a small pod for school district employees. And we did learn yesterday that we still have about 100 of those doses available. And so we are doing a small event next Friday, and we still have 100 appointments available for that. And so those appointments will be made available to the public tomorrow morning at 10 a.m. So tomorrow morning on our website, there will be about 100 appointments that go live. But please know that in a week, hopefully 600 or more appointments will become available for the March allocation. So we're hopefully it looks like we're looking pretty good for the mass clinics. And then always a reminder that there are at least four and a growing number of local other local venues that are offering appointments that are offering doses by appointment at their locations as well.
Thanks. Anyone who has a question can call 235-7721, and you can either tell your question and we'll write it down and send it in, or you can ask it on the air. Dorotha, I want to keep going on this down this path. Do you know how many people in the South Peninsula Hospital service area or the Lower Kenai Peninsula are now qualified for vaccination?
Well, I did some number crunching, Kathleen, and I don't know exactly, but I did some guesstimations. It's a combination of actual numbers and informed guesses. So when I add up the number of people on the Southern Peninsula, and remember, that's what we're talking about, Southern Peninsula. When I add up the number 65 and over, which is 2,843, plus the number of 50 to 64, that's 3,408. But I back out 1,000 because not everybody in the 50 to 64 are eligible, just people who are essential services, which is a very, very broad, generous net of who is essential services, or people with medical conditions. So when I kind of trim off about a third of that group, and then I add in another 700 guesstimate of those in healthcare and frontline workers, and then another 200 in education, and then another 100 that fall into those congregate settings and those type of things, I come up with about 6,300 people who are currently eligible. Our service area is 14,500. Let's all agree that not everybody lives here in the winter. So I'm feeling like we're pretty close to half of our service area being eligible. So using those numbers, I am crossing my fingers that by the middle of March, any of these half of our service area who are eligible will have been offered an appointment. Now remember, those are two different things, being offered an appointment versus actually getting the vaccine. Two different groups of numbers. The remainder would be broken up by about a third. A third would be those under 16, which currently there's no vaccine that's approved for that group. Another third is that young adult, 16 to 30, and then the final third is the 30 and over who did not qualify in any of the other groups. So, I'm feeling right now that if things continue as planned, that our March allocation is a large allocation again, then I believe that half of the service area will have had the opportunity to become vaccinated if they wanted by the middle of March.
And you say there's about, an estimate is about 6,300 people currently qualified in the service area. And you told me on Monday that the incident command requested 6,000 doses. Was that right, or did you say 3,000?
The hospital, on behalf of our Homer Unified Command large vaccination efforts, we requested 3,000 for the month of March. But we have never received what we've requested so far in the allocation. So we will learn this week what we get.
Okay, thanks. And we're going to move on in just a moment to new guidelines from the state, if there are any, to make up for loss of the emergency declaration. But I do want to give you the information that Peggy Irkineff, spokesperson for Kenai Peninsula Borough School District, sent. All three regions are having clinics on the same day. The first dose is February 26th, the second is March 19th, and KPBSD staff who indicated they wanted a vaccine were given a link to sign up for an appointment. They currently don't have any other appointments available. That extra 100 will be made available tomorrow on the South Peninsula Hospital website at 10 a.m. Based on staff who indicated they wanted a vaccine, KPBSD got 250 doses for the Central Peninsula, 120 doses for the Southern Peninsula, and 40 doses for Seward Community Health Center, but 100 of those didn't get taken up. And the vaccines come from the state. Teachers and education staff have been getting vaccinated as tiers open up. And the other thing I did ask, they expect to have to be able to use most of the doses. I guess we've just found out there are 100 left over. I asked how many teachers or workers had already been vaccinated and how many there were to go. But the school district says they don't track that. So we will, I'll be asking in the coming weeks, because I am interested in the percentage of how many people on the peninsula are getting vaccinated, because that will help so much with building immunity. The more people who get vaccinated, then, as Jenny was pointing out, there are, we can get further and further away from the tighter quarantine protocols.
Yes, I would like to follow up with that right now.
Go ahead.
Right now, we don't have a breakdown of Southern Peninsula residents being vaccinated. The state does break it down by borough, and so you can look at how many on the Kenai Peninsula borough whole have received both doses as well as just the single dose, first dose. But we don't have that broken down by the Southern Peninsula. And now, when there's so many places to get your vaccine now, it will be pretty challenging for us to put that number together. So we're hoping that the state will break that out. Just like the state broke out Southern Peninsula positive test results, we're hoping they will break out Southern Peninsula vaccination rates. The hospital itself, through mainly the mass vaccination clinics, we have done a total of 2,775 doses, and that is broken up by 1,000 people have received both the first and second dose, and 775 have received only the first dose. But again, that's just the doses that were allocated to South Peninsula Hospital.
Okay, thanks for that. Now, the next thing to move on to is, have there been, first I'll start with Nurse Lorne, new guidelines from the state of Alaska to make up the loss of emergency declaration. Does the Homer Public Health Center use telehealth and the visiting nurses to deal with COVID?
You know, since by design, given that public health nurses are population focused, that means we roughly deal, our work is mostly population focused. So in general, we don't do a lot of telehealth ourselves, but we look to build the capacity of other folks like medical homes to use that. Now, in the world of COVID-19, contact tracing efforts are done only by telephone, and that does not involve telehealth.
Okay. And Dorotha, what about the hospital? I know that telehealth is now no longer part of COVID treatment because the emergency declaration has expired. Is that right?
That is not actually correct,
what?
Kathleen. That is one of the areas that will it definitely will be affected. Which of the telehealth? It's not clear to me. Some telehealth was already approved prior to the emergency declaration and was already being used in Alaska, and I don't have that list in front of me. And some of telehealth was then emergency authorized. But just to remind everybody that the governor made it pretty clear that the divisions and the DHSS were working on reviewing the things that were going to go away as a result of this and attempt to make modifications or accommodations where still necessary. So we're still waiting to hear what that final answer is.
Okay, and so what preparations are you able to make, or are you already seeing a lack anywhere?
We're on hold. We're totally on hold. The announcement just happened Sunday. The emergency declaration went away, and we were advised to continue everything as we were doing under the emergency declaration, and the state would be reaching out to us on a item by item basis on what continues and what goes away. And so we're 4 days in, and we haven't we haven't gotten answers on everything yet.
Okay, thanks for that. I want to go to Jenny Carroll for the city of Homer. And first of all, do you have any input in terms of how the city will be affected by the emergency declaration expiring?
At this point, we would primarily be affected through our unified command structure. You know, we work closely with public health here in Homer and the hospital to not only do the mass vaccine clinics, but also any kind of resource requests that come from Unified Command for any kind of PPE or anything to help respond to the pandemic. At this point, the state has, like the hospital, has said, you know, continue those practices. We will let people know if this will change. In a declared disaster, there's a process for making resource requests for response activities that go up the chain to the state. So at this point, that hasn't changed yet, and we haven't had a great need for resource requests lately since everything's kind of quiet right now. And I don't think that it will the vaccine rollout will change much from the declaration expiring. There's always the chance that the Alaska State Legislature will put another disaster declaration in place, maybe similar to what was or something amended. So we're on a wait and see basis as well.
Okay, thanks. And I want to make sure that we've covered all this. Nurse Lorne, is there anything that you want to add?
Oh, well, I guess I would just say in regards to the declaration, if you're interested in, you know, some additional information, the Commissioner of Health and Social Services and also the Incident Commander of the State Emergency Operations Center and the Director of the Division, they have publicly available their slides regarding SB 56 Extended COVID-19 Disaster Emergency. And if you flip through, it kind of gives you an idea of things like what that allows for continuing services within the state and why the declaration is needed. So that's some helpful perspectives.
Thanks, Nurse Lorne Carroll. And Dorotha, what about, so testing is ongoing, but it sounds, how many tests are you performing? Or administering, I guess, is the word.
To date, we have done 18,491. So, yeah.
In the last few weeks when there have been very few cases.
In the last week, we have done 100 and looks like about 84. So not nearly as many as when we, you know, have hit some peaks, but still people are relying on testing. That means people are either being exposed to known positives, or they have symptoms, or they're doing pre-procedure screenings to keep everybody safe in the procedure environment. So still an important tool, and I appreciate that this community continues to rely on it. It's there 7 days a week, 9 to 6. If we get enough vaccine allocation in the month of March, we plan to, at that same location, but a different door, offer vaccines by appointment. So we're crossing our fingers that the March allocation is large enough to allow that. That way we can really have dual outreach to providing vaccines.
Thanks. That's Dorotha Ferraro, spokesperson for South Peninsula Hospital. I want to spend the last 5 minutes with Jenny Carroll to talk about applications open for rent relief. They opened on, I think, Tuesday. And is the city tracking that stuff, or is this all Alaska Housing Finance Corporation?
This is all Alaska Housing Finance Corporation. It is an allotment of federal funds that the state of Alaska received to provide rent and utility assistance. So AHFC is handling it all. The application period opened on Tuesday, and it will close on March 5th, 2021. So I encourage anyone who's interested to go to www.alaskahousingrelief.org. The program is explained there. You can learn more about it. You can take an eligibility quiz. And if you meet the criteria, you will be invited to apply. The program is open to people with at 80% of area median income, and at least one person in a household has to have been directly or indirectly financially impacted by COVID-19. So the program provides up to 12 months of rent and utility assistance, and that assistance is paid directly to a landlord and your utility provider. So it's a great program. If anyone is struggling to pay their rent or they're in arrears, I highly recommend to go to AHFC's website there and look into that program. That assistance is here to help support that section of our state that is needing help with their staying housed. It's a very important health factor, is to maintain our housing. So I'm glad that assistance is there.
Thanks.
And continuing.
And I have a caller question for Jenny Carroll. With the state of emergency ending, will the state still receive $8 million in federal funding for food assistance? Do you know about that?
I do not. I am not. I don't have the information to be able to answer that from a place of knowledge. I'm sorry. So I understand that some food aid is based on that declaration. How much of it has been given to the state already and won't go away because of the loss of the declaration, I'm not sure. And moving forward, if more funds are made available, whether the state would be eligible. I can look that up and bring an answer back at another date.
Well, maybe we can ask that question again on Monday when we put our heads together. And is the information, the city of Homer's information number still up and running for people to call to ask questions about all manner of COVID questions?
Yes, it still is. And we receive, anywhere from, 14 to 21 calls a week with people asking questions about travel or vaccines. That is a great resource for people to call and get your general COVID answers. That number is 435-3197. We have a person staffing that from 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. Monday through Friday. I also wanted to put a plug out for the vaccine call line. When the appointments go open tomorrow morning at 10 a.m. for this next clinic, we will be having the vaccine call line open from 10 to 1 to assist folks who need help making those appointments. So if you don't have a computer or you're having a technical problem, you can't figure out how to get on and make your appointment online, we will have some operators standing by from 10 to 1 to assist people over the phone with that process. So I wanted to put that out. The number is 435-3188.
Thanks so much. And I want to end with Dorotha Ferraro from South Peninsula Hospital, because your COVID line is there, 235-0235. And that number is if someone is going in for testing or needs to speak to a COVID nurse. But that number is not the number to call to get an appointment for a vaccination.
That's correct. But if you do need some assistance in remembering where your appointment is, so what's happening is that the month of January and February, most of our mass vaccination events were at the Community Christian Church, and we're hoping starting in March to move over to the high school. And so I can see where folks are going to get a little bit confused. So they do have access to the appointment lists for the mass pods at that 235-0235. And so folks can just double or triple check if and when needed. But as far as setting the appointments, that is the purpose of the call line or the vaccination assist line that Jenny was just speaking to.
Okay, thanks so much. Any final comments or anything you feel like we've left out or information you want to get out to the public from any of the panelists?
Just one from me, Kathleen. It's Lauren. I just got a message from Mary Darbone. She's a public health nurse too here. She has a rough tally or estimate of total number of doses of COVID vaccine given on SKP by about 6 different providers. So we're just about at 3,900 doses of vaccine given. So that's great.
Thanks, Nurse Lauren. And Dorotha, did you have something else?
Well, I'm going to, between now and next time, I'm coming up with a clever slogan. Remember back in May, it was open but not over. And so I have to come up with one that's without emergency declaration, but still feel urgent, right? So I just want people to remember that these mitigation strategies work. It's been proven over and over again in the hospital and healthcare setting that 2 people with masks do prevent spread of COVID. So just want to remind people that that these simple free measures work.
Wear your mask, wash your hands, keep a safe social distance, keep your bubbles small. What am I leaving out? Call 235-0235 if you have any questions about symptoms and testing.
Yeah,
And
get the vaccine if it's right for you.
And get that vaccine. 100 doses will go derby style from the South Peninsula Hospital website tomorrow starting at 10 a.m., correct?
That's correct, but don't panic if you want one and don't get it, because many more will become available within a week for the March event.
I look forward to getting those numbers from you. So thanks to all for South Peninsula Hospital's Dorotha Ferraro, Nurse Lauren Carroll, and Jenny Carroll, Information Officer for the City of Homer. This has been the regular Thursday COVID-19 Brief. I'm Kathleen Gustafson. Thanks for listening, Kachemak Bay.